Thanks for listening to this sermon recorded at Holy Innocents Episcopal Church during one of our principal services. This sermon was based upon the lectionary readings for the day. To stay connected at Holy Innocents, friend us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, or check us out on the web. Thanks for listening, and stay connected.
Who are these robed in white? I speak to you in the name of God who makes saints holy and calls them to become what they are, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I never approach All Saints Day, or All Hallows Eve for that matter, without thinking of my maternal grandfather, who loved nothing more than getting his 10 grandchildren together on All Hallows Eve and scaring the bejeebers out of us. But my grandfather was known also for telling other kinds of tales other than scary ones. And we never were really clear which ones were based in fact and which ones he was making up, until we detected that he could be trusted when he used this phrase, saints alive, and that's the truth. Saints alive, and that's the truth, affirming his own faith that in fact the saints do live, and also affirming to us when he said that, that this is truth that you can rely on and not one of my tall tales. So who is it? Who makes up this communion of saints that we honor today? I think we can get a better understanding of that first by looking a little bit at the development of the Feast of All Saints. We know that that the movement began probably in the 2nd or 3rd century, probably in Ireland, before moving to the rest of the Christian world of that time. And we know, again, that by the 9th century, that the appeal had gone to Rome that the Feast of All Saints be commemorated throughout the Holy Roman Empire. It was largely a desire to commemorate not the great heroes of the church, the names that we know, even from the apostles and so forth, but the martyrs, those who had lost their lives during the persecutions, primarily of the Emperor Nero. A sense of need for the intercommunion between the saints living and the saints dead within the body of Christ. Eventually, however, that desire, that feast day, evolved into an occasion to remember those well-known names in the church, the apostles, others who earned sainthood in the early days, the ones that history records, that if you pick up a work on the lives of the saints, those who are going to be listed there. But as that evolved, as that focus narrowed on the great saints, the great heroes of the church began to realize, to recover that need for remembering the saints who are not listed in history book, who are not listed in any book of the saints. But those people, like my grandfather, for example, who was a saintly man, and those people who touch our lives in saintly ways and help shape us, guide us, and nurture us in the Christian way. So we know the heroes. We know the saints that we recall in the Litany of Saints, for example. There is Peter and Paul, who are the favorites of some, who are patrons of congregations, are patrons of individuals who choose them on the occasion of their baptism or of their holy confirmation. Probably more popular is the Blessed Virgin Mary. I suppose the most popular of them all, though, known and widely loved, is St. Francis of Assisi. St. Francis, who is known largely because of his love of creation and his supposed ability to communicate with the animal kingdom, was nevertheless also, and we tend to forget this, that he's the one who raised up again the value of the sermon, the value of preaching in the Holy Eucharist. It had fallen largely into disuse when the emphasis had become mostly upon the sacramental life of the Church. He's the one who's responsible when we visit these great cathedrals in this country and beyond, where the pulpit is highly elevated. St. Francis is the one who's responsible for that. But his emphasis on preaching for everyone came down to this phrase for which he is known: preach continually. If necessary, use words. Preach continually. If necessary, use words. In other words, I think of the vow of holy baptism and holy confirmation. Will you proclaim by word and deed, or word and example, the good news of God in Christ? That everything that we say and everything that we do, the example that we set, would be preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a little bit about the history. And as long as we're talking about favorite saints, my own favorite is probably St. Benedict of Nursia. St. Benedict formed that Benedictine spiritual rule of life and eventually a community of monks around him, the rule of life being expressed in Latin, ora et labora, prayer and work, work obviously according to the way they lived out the rule, also recreation or recreation, which he thought was so important for both the spiritual and the physical health of people. And also because of the influence of the Benedictines, who spread Christianity to the British Isles, and whose influence is really the spine of our Book of Common Prayer, which is also founded in that spiritual rule of work and prayer. Well, that's a little bit about the history and some of our favorite saints. But what does Holy Scripture have to say about the saints? We hear from the book of the prophet Daniel this morning, he refers to the holy ones of the Most High. What does the New Testament call them? New Testament uses the word hagios, and I'm not trying to give you a language lesson here, but I use it because hagios is the word that we use to translate to the word saints. But it refers not to the great heroes of the Church, not only to the martyrs of the Church, but to all baptized Christians. All baptized Christians in the New Testament are referred to as saints. St. Paul, in writing to the Christians in Corinth, who were guilty of the worst possible moral transgressions, and he could write to them and greet them as saints. He would also say to them, however, become what you are. Were they holy because of a moral achievement? No. They were made holy through the waters of baptism. They were made holy objectively by God's grace, God's love. So, who are these? Who are these robed in white? If all Christians are referred to as saints in the New Testament. You know that chain, toys are us? Beloved, the saints are us. The saints are us. Not because we are any more morally honorable than those Christians in Corinth, but because, like them, we have been washed white in the blood of the Lamb. We, too, have been made holy by the grace of God, who, like St. Paul calling on the Christians in Corinth, God calls upon us to become what we are, to grow more and more into the sainthood which Christ has granted to us.